And also, the contest we've been telling you about where we can send you to Vegas is officially open. So if you want to get on a plane and the airfare is on us, you and a guest to Vegas to see the Scorpions perform Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, stay tuned. That's on March 6th, and you will not only see them perform there, you will stay there as well. We'll have a room for you there at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Stay tuned. We will tell you the keyword shortly. You will text it to 20357. You will be qualified to win. All right, let's get out to the River Islands guest line. It is time for Coach Kerr. Steve Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Hey, Coach, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Obviously, everybody would love to know everything that you know about Steph Curry and sort of how you plan to go about attacking these next couple of games without him.
Yeah, I mean, we've put the word out. He's going to miss the next couple of games, and we'll reevaluate him on Friday. So the good news is the MRI was pretty clear, and we don't expect this to be a long-term thing. So, I've been touting our depth the last few weeks in preseason, and not only are we going to be without Steph, but we'll be without D'Anthony Melton and Wiggs tomorrow night. So a chance for that depth to get their opportunity, and I'm excited about that.
Okay, so Coach, you're confirming that Andrew Wiggins will not play tomorrow night, is that right?
Yeah, most likely not. Yeah, I mean, he's questionable right now. I would say there's a good chance we keep him out. It's early in the season. We'll leave him as questionable, but I'm sort of planning to play without him.
So this would be a little bit of an adjustment for you to not have 12 at your disposal, more likely 9, or maybe somebody else who hasn't played much will get in there. And I know there's no easy way to replace what Steph does, one of the greatest players ever, but who do you lean on to, you know, account for his scoring and also his ability to play make?
Well, we have to lean into multiple guys. No one guy is going to replace him, obviously, but it probably means Brandon Pajemski and Moses Moody will both play more, and we're going to need Buddy shooting. We're going to probably get Lindy Waters out there, who's had a great camp and one of our best shooters. So we'll play it by ear, but we got a lot of guys, and I'm very confident they can get the job done.
Coach, you've talked to us and others a lot about wanting to play fast, and if that means firing up a lot of threes, you're going to do it, and so you've really empowered your guys. Jonathan Kuminga in particular has not had a good percentage to start the season. What are you seeing with his three-point shot right now?
Not really a big deal. I mean, he's not a high volume three-point shooting guy anyway. So it's just three games, and I never worry about a couple of games, especially starting the season. But he's very likely to go out there and knock down a few tomorrow. He shot the ball really well in the preseason. He's put a lot of work in, and I don't concern myself too much with that.
You do want to play faster, and it has been great through three games, although last night looked like the turnover bug bit you a little bit. Is that just something you kind of have to live with when you're looking to play faster and you end up having 21 turnovers?
No, there's no way we should have the turnovers that we did last night. They really didn't have anything to do with pace. It was more carelessness. Some of it is just execution-wise. We've put in some new things. We're not used to them yet. I think guys are still, trying to see the pictures, and we'll get better. I mean, it's literally only been a few weeks, and we'll get better with that. But we have to be very intentional about taking care of the ball, and we weren't last night. And the Clippers had a lot to do with that. They put a lot of pressure on us and did a great job. But it has to be something we're more in tune with this year, because we just can't expect to compete at the highest level if we give away 10, 12 possessions like we did last night.
Coach, this is not a new thing with regard to the fact that you guys are at times undersized with certain lineups, and you didn't really get out-rebounded overall last night, 48-47, but the way Zubats was able to affect you guys around the rim, How do you go about planning for height like that throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, every team is different that we're going to face. And so you have to look at their tendencies and you know, how are we going to keep guys out of their comfort zones? So we went into the Clipper game knowing that Zubats has played well against us. I think he's improved quite a bit. I think he's actually one of the toughest players for us to play all year because of that size and skill down in the paint. So, you know, we tried to keep him off of his spots, but they did a good job of getting him there, and he had a big night.
And Kevon Looney, I thought, played really well coming off the bench. How much is his contribution critical when facing some of these really big, imposing centers in the West?
Yeah, Loon's the best. I mean, that guy, the way he played last night, coming off the bench, always just embracing his role. Whatever it is from night to night, he just always comes through and prepares, and it's just beautiful to watch him. And I thought last night he was terrific. He was one of the reasons we had a chance down the stretch because of his play, and he helped bring us back. So it's one of the reasons Loon is so important for us and has been a mainstay for us for the better part of a decade.
Coach, good to hear the first performance from your dog here this season. That's good. How's the dog?
Dog's doing great. We actually have two now, so you may be hearing quite a bit of them this year. But all good for the dogs in the Kerr house.
Okay, hold on a sec now, Coach. We'll get back to the Warriors. But the last time we talked to you about your dog, I'm just going to be real with you. You did not sound like someone who wanted yet another one. How the hell did this come together?
Well, it's actually our daughter's dog, and my son-in-law are living with us for the next couple of months because they're moving into a house in a couple of months and putting some work in. So, yeah, so the dog came with them. So it's going to be busy around here.
Fantastic.
Do the dogs get along?
Oh, they get along great.
Okay.
Both retrievers, yeah, they just wrestle all day long. So it's good. They wear each other out.
It's good to know that you're just like the rest of us, where you may have relevance and sway in one area of your life, and then in other areas, you just basically have to go along with the plan.
I actually have very little sway in any area of my life. That's what I've found. Coaching, parenting, it doesn't matter. I'm just a bystander, really.
Wait, so these rotations aren't yours, Steve?
All right, I got a little sway, maybe, but
okay.
Not that much.
Thank goodness. I'm like, we're talking to the wrong guy about Moses Moody, for crying out loud. No. All right, Steve Kerr with us. Hey, Coach, just a broad question in that I think when the lights come on, there are always surprises in life. So what, like, of these first three games, how has it gone compared to what you thought it was going to look like?
It's actually about what I thought it would look like, to be honest. I'm not surprised by anything. We have a lot of good defensive players this year. Our defense has been excellent. Even last night, we weren't perfect, but we definitely played well enough to win defensively. But our offense didn't measure up, and I think that's going to be the harder side of the ball for us to really execute under duress against the best defensive teams, which the Clippers are one of them. I think that's going to take a little more time just because we're doing some different things this year. We're trying to get more organized. We're trying to run more sets, to get that organization. We're playing more people. We're playing people in different spots. So that's going to take a little bit of time, for sure.
I know one of the challenges last year was Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga together. Last night, Wiggins again was spectacular. Through a small sample of three games, are you seeing them more successful when playing together in games?
Yeah, we at the end of last year when we played with Draymond at the five, JK and Wiggs were actually pretty good together. So the question this year is, can they be good together with Draymond at the four? And we've been starting that way, you know, Wiggs, JK, Draymond, Trace. And, you know, just to be really honest, I mean, that is not a modern NBA starting lineup. You know, everybody's playing shooting at almost every spot. And so we're doing something that's a little different. you know, and for it to work, they got to be great defensively. We got to get out and run. We got to use that force downhill, playing off of our defense, and did that really well the first two games. Not very well last night. So again, it's early in the season. We're looking at a lot of different things, and that's still a work in progress.
Yeah, Coach, I wonder how long that lasts, at least in your head. Obviously, injuries could change all of this, but do you have a target date as to when you kind of want to really have a good sense of what you're doing lineup-wise every night?
Well, we want that to happen as soon as possible, but I think in general, you get to the quarter pole of the season and you usually have a good sense of what your team is going to look like. So I'm not going to say I'm going to stick with this for 20 games. I'm not going to say I'm going to make any changes at all. If it goes well, this could be our starting lineup for the year. But usually at around the 20-game mark, we'll have a good feel.
And normally you have Draymond Green in there for the conclusion of these tight games, yet last night with 8 minutes to go, he checked out and never checked back in. What was the reasoning behind that, and what did you see from the five you had on the floor to close the game out?
Well, we do that pretty often where if a group has it going, we just stay with them. And I thought that group with Loon really did a great job. And so we just, we just went with it. And, that group gave us a chance. We were right there. We just, we got it to within one, but we couldn't close it. But, I wanted to ride them and reward them for the way they played.
Coach, I want to ask you about Buddy Hield. And I know that his first two games were just so sparkling. The shot wasn't falling nearly as much last night. But you've talked a lot about what else Buddy brings to the table. And I'm wondering, with what you've said, why has this guy been such a journeyman? Like, why has he never kind of clicked and connected somewhere where they're hell-bent on him staying?
Well, don't forget, he was drafted by Sacramento and signed a big contract there. And then I think he was part of the Halliburton trade, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So anytime you're part of a big trade involving all-stars, a lot of, it's going to be – there's going to be players who are moved in that case. And he did well in Indiana. The trade to Philly maybe didn't work as well as Philly had hoped. But I don't know. Everybody, this league is about finding the right combination, the right spots. And I think this is a really good spot for Buddy, and I'm excited about him.
Yeah, even last night when he wasn't able to shoot it, the energy was great, and he still was able to contribute. Just wondering about Kyle Anderson last night. He got just the one about 4 minute stint, and that's all the time he got. Was that just a question of the combinations that you had, and he wasn't fitting in last night against the Clippers?
Well, it just was the night where it didn't go his way. The first 4 minutes of the second quarter, we struggled with that lineup. And then, in the second half, we were kind of playing uphill. That's where playing 12 gets difficult, where you're if you're struggling in the game and you can't, control the game, then all of a sudden it becomes more difficult to play a lot of different lineups. You've got to find one and then stick with it. So I wouldn't read too much into that. Kyle's going to play a huge role for us.
Coach Steve Kerr with us, as he always is every week. Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, with no Steph and no Melton the next couple of nights, who's bringing the ball up?
Well, that's one of the reasons we have Kyle. Kyle's a point forward. Draymond, BP, we got a lot of guys who can bring the ball up, get us into our offense. So it'll be a chance for a lot of them to really, get their opportunity and take on a little bit more responsibility, which is exciting.
Big challenge coming with Zion and Brandon Ingram and the Pelicans and back-to-back games and back-to-back nights. What do those two players in particular pose as far as problems for your defense?
Well, Zion is just incredible, getting downhill with that force and that athleticism. And so we know we've got to do a good job trying to stay in front of him and offering help so that he doesn't see a lot of driving lanes. And Brandon Ingram is just a really good all-around player. He gets to spots. Sorry about my dog.
Yes. You've explained it, Steve. We're good.
Yeah. She's apparently a big Brandon Ingram fan.
Okay.
So, we it's a really talented team, and they handled us last year pretty well. So we got a big challenge for sure.
So, hey, Coach, I know last week we brought up the World Series, and you were kind enough to be like, let's not talk about my fandom. But what about this? Will you please take the audience into what happened when you were over on the bench the other night when that Freddie Freeman Grand Slam happened? What was that conversation that we saw?
Well, we were up 30, you know, and I hadn't seen a score or anything since halftime. I saw that it was 2-2 at halftime, you know, when we were in the coach's locker room. And then I forgot about it. I went back out to coach and wasn't even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, this fan right behind me just gasps and says, "Oh, my God, he hit it out." And, of course, now my ears are up. I'm like, so I just turned. I said, "Who did?" And he goes, "Freeman." I go, "Yes. All right." And then then I got back to coaching again.
I love it. And, you know, tomorrow there'll be a little bit of a conflict, game four, and your game probably being about the seventh or eighth inning. So we should we keep an eye on you maybe getting an early ejection to go back and watch that game?
Right. Early. Getting tossed early and go sit in the video room with the guys, you know, pretend like I'm doing a little work back there.
Am I giving you ideas now on how to proceed?
Exactly.
Steve Kerr with us. I imagine the answer would be maybe these turnovers, but if I just gave you kind of a broad window to say, like, through three games, what do you want to see your guys do better? How would you answer that?
Offensive execution. Sorry, I got two dogs with the zoomies racing around the living room right now.
So it's amazing.
It's chaos. But no, we've got to execute offensively. The turnovers last night were the main reason we didn't win that game. We just can't give away possessions, which means we've got to do a better job as coaches of preparing our guys to execute against really good defenses, and that's the focus right now.
You got a couple of barking dogs barking back-to-back, and you're playing the same team in back-to-back games. Do you like that, Steve, when you face the same opponent two consecutive nights?
Not really, but, I understand. It is what it is. It's good for travel. It's good for, for player maintenance, all that stuff. So, you get a couple games straight if you're on the road. But, it's not not exactly ideal, but it is what it is.
Coach, when we post the interview on our social media and whatnot, we always like to list all the people who appeared. So what are the dogs' names, please?
We got Lulu and Mabel.
Lulu and Mabel. And which one is yours and which one is your daughter's?
Yeah, Lulu is ours. Mabel is our daughter's.
Okay.
And Mabel's a puppy. She's less than a year, so she's got...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she's got a lot of energy. We'll put it that way.
She's got like Pajemski energy.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll let you go feed them or whatever's going to happen next. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good week.
All right, you too. We'll see you out there tomorrow night. Steve Kerr, right here on 95.7.
And Mabel. Yes.
Who's the soccer announcer that got famous on social media during COVID? He's got the two dogs, and he would do videos where he's sort of doing play-by-play of what the dogs are doing, and I swear one of them is named Mabel. I don't know if the other one's Lulu, but it literally sounds like the same thing. Someone will help me out on that. There's a guy who got famous doing these social media videos where he's following his dogs around.
Nick Heath. He's a rugby announcer.
Okay. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are the dogs' names? Do you know?
Give me a moment.
Okay, look that up.
And this was during the pandemic when there was no sports.
Right, and then
about my dog. Yeah. Hey, turn it up.
That's okay. Anyway, and then it became a thing, and he kept doing it, and they're hilarious. They're absolutely hysterical. He's got racing to see who finishes eating first or whatever. And I swear one of the dogs' name is Mabel. But anyway.
And Steve talking about the dogs having the zoomies, it's because the puppy. And, you know, the puppy is playing at a much faster pace than the older dog, and so the older dog's got to keep up.
Right.
So now they're running around chasing each other.
Or the older dog is trying to get the younger one to stop.
Totally.
It. Stop.
Right.
Chill, which, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Doesn't always work.
No. Never
Take it
works.
From a guy with a two-year-old. Yeah, when she wants to go, she's going to go. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Dogs are the best, man. Absolutely the best. Okay. You want to do the thingamabob? You want to do the thingamabob now?
Let's do it.
You want to do it?
I can't wait.
All right, here we go. It's time. You want to win two tickets to the Scorpions? Okay, March 6th. The show is at PH Live. That's at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You get two nights at the hotel. Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You get round-trip airfare for two to Las Vegas, and you get tickets to the show, The Scorpions, March 6th. We're about to give you that keyword that you need to text to 20357, okay? That's where you're going to text it. Again, the number you want to text the keyword to, 20357. Do that, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win the flyaway to Vegas. And then make sure you keep listening to our show, Willard and Dibs, all week, because we're going to do this every single day this week between 5 and 5:30. And oh, by the way, the next two nights, we'll be doing it right from the plaza out there at Thrive City. And I'm going to be mad at all of you if you don't come see us.
Right?
My God, if you've got Warrior tickets the next two nights and you don't come see us, well, I'm breaking up with you. You've got to come by and see us. You can't miss us. We're going to be right out there. Where we're, to the right, we'll be looking at Chase Center. To the left, we'll be looking at Bonte over there at NBC Sports Bay Area. Tucked right in over there. You have to come say hi. I'm going to bring a little football out there. Let's play catch during commercial breaks, okay? So that's the plan. But anyway, every single day this week between 5 and 5:30, we give out a keyword. The more keywords you text, the better your chances of winning. And today's keyword is Scorpions. Text the word Scorpions to 20357 and you will be entered to win. Good luck. Text the word Scorpions to 20357. Viva Las Vegas.
All right, good luck. Get in there.
Good luck to everybody.
Enter early, enter often, and somebody is going to win this pretty awesome trip. Flight, couple of nights, a concert, Vegas. That's pretty outstanding.
Yeah, you don't even need a reason to go to Vegas. But in this particular case, you got one.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a great reason to go.
You got something, Lucas? Why you looking at me? Well, you got something?
Those dog names you were talking about.
Yeah.
Olive and Mabel.
And Mabel. Olive and Mabel. That's
there you
it.
Go.
So not Lulu and Mabel, but Olive and Mabel. Look it up. I'm telling you. You want to waste an hour on the internet? Google Olive and Mabel.
Okay.
And you're welcome.
All right. Sounds good.
It's so good. All right, Steve Kerr was fantastic. I tell you what I loved most about everything he said. The number one thing I loved was his very first answer, which was sort of a blasé tone in his voice when he spoke about Steph Curry. Ah, not expecting this to be a serious thing. We've announced that he's going to be out the next two nights, but not expecting it to be serious. I'm not saying for sure that he's not going to miss a third game or whatever, but kind of blew off the idea that this is anything more than just a game or two or three or whatever.
Right, yeah. And that's good news, and the MRI was mostly clean. The thing that is troubling to me is this reminds me of early days Steph Curry, where he just sprains his ankle on his own. And I watched both of the incidents again from when he hurts his ankle. And the first time was non-contact and it just rolled over. And then the second one, same thing. He was trying to guard down in the low block and he took a step and his ankle just rolled over. And that for me is the disturbing part, because we've seen this. We've seen this many, many times where it's a non-contact, non-jumping, just ankle roll. And so, yeah, MRI looks good. You give him the better part of a week off and he's able to come back. That's good, but it just kind of triggers me on the old Steph Curry, the pre-championship
sure,
Steph Curry,
I get it.
When it felt like this happened all the time.
Yeah, ankles and Steph, that's
his
a thing.
Ankles, yeah.
I got it, yeah, for sure. And I mean, look, fair question, hindsight always being 2020, to wonder if in game three of the year, after you had already hurt your ankle, should you have sent him back out there to try to power through in your very first home game of the year? Look, if you knew what was going to happen next, obviously the answer would have been no. But unfortunate that the weakened ankle had it happen again. And I saw Doc Pandya, who is Doc going to join us tomorrow? Is that tomorrow for Doc this week? Yeah, that's a yes. So we'll talk to Doc Pandy about it, but I saw him talking about that when that happens, and it's already happened that night, it can be significantly more painful, which is why I think you saw Steph immediately without stopping head straight to the locker room.
Right to the locker room. And he knew, and you know, if you do it once and you feel like you can play through it, and it's Steph Curry, for crying out loud, he knows his ankles better than anybody. So I honestly don't think that he would have toughed it out in game three had he not thought that everything was going to be okay. So you tweak it, and you know, I don't know about you, but I've rolled each of my ankles probably 165 times.
Yep.
And so now most of the time when I roll it, it's like, I mean, because the ligaments are so stretched out.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to run and jump and shoot three-pointers with people guarding me. I'm just trying to walk down the street. And as you see, I'm not always successful doing that. But
most of the time.
Sometimes when you do, like, you step off the curb wrong and it's a quick roll of your ankle, it's like, ooh, that's going to hurt. And then an hour later, it's better. And sometimes it actually is really, really bad.
The injuries, as you get older, get more embarrassing, bar none.
You That's have just no idea, bro.
No, I don't even, I don't, but I do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to put her on blast, but the last year and a half of my sister's life has literally been just a line of, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I got hurt doing that, and now, I'm sorry, you're telling me this is going to be, like, a problem for 6 months? Wait, you're telling me it's never fully going to be normal again? Really? Really? Yeah. Welcome to the second half of your life.
Right. And that's, you know, you think that you're young and, you know, I got this 2-year-old and, you know, I'm remarried and all this and pepping my step. And then you just messing around with your 2-year-old and you fall and now you're in urgent care. No. It's like, I just fell. And yeah, there's like 5 injuries resulting from the fall. And, you know, it's like, geez. And then you start thinking about, like, you know, when you fall 25 years from now. And I know your mom had a fall. And, like,
oh, yeah.
And it's when you get older and you have a fall, it's like broken hip, broken leg, broken collarbone, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
It just.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
Look, we still got a half hour if you want to weigh in on this. 888-957-9570. What we've been talking about is largely the way expectations have sort of changed or not for you for the San Francisco 49ers. They come out of a Sunday night football victory over the Cowboys. There's no way to make that not feel good. Let me say it again slow. They beat the Cowboys on Sunday night football. There's context, but they beat the Cowboys on Sunday night football. So that's wonderful. And they get the win that all of us in this moment were like, oh, you got to have this. And if you get that, you're tied for first, and we're going to boogie in the second half of the season. Christian will be back. We think the 49ers can win the division, and that suddenly feels good. But if I had offered 4-4 to you to start the year back in August, you would have laughed. You would have said, what the hell went wrong? Why is this like this? So when you get to today and you look at the first 8 weeks of the 49ers season, answer that question. Do you largely feel good or do you feel bad? Because this is not the way we thought it was going to look, even with the optimism of yesterday.
When I was thinking about that, like if you would have said 4-4 at the start of the year, yeah, you're going to be 4-4 going into the bye. And I'd look, okay, you lose to the Jets on opening night, I guess, at home. You lose at Minnesota. Okay, I could see that. You lose to Kansas City. Of course you do. And then you probably lose to Dallas at home if that's your 4 losses. And you're thinking, that's dreadful. That would be home to the Jets, a loss. Home to Kansas City, a loss. Home to Dallas, a loss. Those are your 4 games. But in fact, you beat Dallas and you beat the Jets. And you gave 2 of the other games away that get you to 4-4. So that might color how you feel about this 4-4. I feel good about it just knowing where they are in the division and knowing what health should be on the horizon, healthy players coming back, and a team that, for at least for one day, last night, they played really well, I thought. They looked good.
For the most part.
They played well.
For the most part.
Things to clean up, of course. Special teams, less a problem. The defense got a little gashed late, but you had a cushion. I thought the offense hummed, even with names like Pearsall and Guerrero doing a lot of the heavy lifting. So I look forward to Grandy's grades tomorrow as we pick through that Week 8 game in a little bit more detail, but all in all, off that win, I feel good about 4-4.
I just think in general, and no one wants to do this because who's got time for this? And I get it. We're just here to have a good time. And damn it, we want our teams to do well. And when there's expectations, there's no way you're going to put those back in the box. I just think you always have to leave room for any team, your favorite team, any other team. You've got to leave room for the journey, especially this group, because they've done such a good job facing these situations in the past. I know, you look at the schedule right now for the 49ers in the second half, and you're like, boof, that looks hard. It really does. It looks hard. It's got a lot of good teams on it. It's got a lot of tough road trips. It's got a lot of cold road trips. And we don't even know what the 49ers' health will be during those football games. So it's nerve-wracking, and I think that's fair, but you have to give teams room for the journey that they're about to go on and realize that it may not often be as smooth as you think it's going to be when it just gets started at the beginning.
Like, yeah.
A lot of this is explainable. Let's put it that way.
When it's never that smooth, and it's always a journey, and I think about last year, and I mentioned this earlier, you were 5-0 after five games, and you had a point differential of plus 100. You had scored more than 30 points in virtually every game. You crushed everyone, and then you went about losing three straight games, and you went to the bye at 5-3, and you lost on a botched field goal by your kicker, and then you lost a game to Minnesota that was highly winnable, and then Cincinnati came in here and knocked you around. So yeah, the journey to 5-3 last year was very different than the journey to 4-4 this year, where you're probably right, they should be quote unquote 6-2. Unfortunately, they're not, but in eight of their games they've been the better team six times. I think Minnesota was better, Kansas City was clearly better. The other six games, you were the better team, and you won four of those six, which is the problem.
888-957-9570. As you wake up today, you feeling good, or are you still feeling like crap? Because the Niners, Super Bowl or bust, are still just sitting at 4-4. Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey. So, this may sound a little wishy-washy, but I'm feeling slightly disappointed. I mean, considering, first of all, beginning of the season, it looked like with Trent and Ayuk holding out, I figured they were going to have slow starts. And then it looked, even going into the season, that we're going to miss McCaffrey for a little bit. So, but then we had some pretty weak competition, and we lost to some weak competition. So all things considered, if we had been 5-3 right now, I'd feel really good. So I'm a little disappointed, but I'm very hopeful. I mean, we should start getting our quality players back. By the way, is there any news on Greenlaw? I'd love to see that guy come back, although I don't know, how good he's going to be after that injury. But if we can get all these guys back, or most of them back, we should certainly win the division and then see what happens after that, I guess.
Gene, I would like you, once you hang up your phone, I would like you to pull your ear as close to the radio as possible, because we have a specific Dre Greenlaw update from Kyle Shanahan, okay? So thanks, Gene. Appreciate the call. This is exactly what Kyle said earlier today about Dre Greenlaw's timetable.
No, I mean, we talk about a lot of stuff, and he's working through it, but I hate to give a rough timeline for you guys because we're not exactly sure of it. You know, I think it's, once we get back from this bye week, I think he's going to be about week to week deciding whether we should get him back in the practice deal or not. But we'll see how this next week goes. We'll see when we get back from the bye week, and I think once it gets past the bye week, then we'll be looking each week on whether we should bring him back or not, because it is getting closer.
By the way, while we're here, is Christian McCaffrey going to be ready for the Bucs game?
It depends how this week goes. I mean, he's had no setbacks, so it looks like we're on track, but he's going to hit it hard this week while we're gone and kind of simulate some practice stuff for himself. And as long as it all goes good, hopefully we'll get him back in practice next week.
Okay, and whenever he comes back, is he immediately full go, full starter?
The expectation is to see how he is when he gets back and then evaluate him as he goes. You know, I mean, of course, the hope is that everything just goes back to normal and it's, you know, perfect, but that's what we're all striving for. But you got to play that out smartly, and you got to evaluate that each day, what we see with our own eyes, what he tells us. That'll be something we constantly are working through.
There it is. That's from Kyle Shanahan on the McCaffrey and Greenlaw thing. And if I'm just going to sort of guess based on what you're hearing, like the Niners put out publicly, or at least through back channels, that the Bucs game had been circled by Christian McCaffrey as early as 2 weeks ago. And the way he answered the Greenlaw one is a clue into how they handle this. I know that it's only a, quote, loose target date, but they don't do that stuff willy-nilly, because they damn well know what they do not want to do is overpromise right. And underdeliver. So when they told you that it was probably going to be the Bucs game, it's going to be the Bucs game, unless something awful happens.
For McCaffrey.
Right, and nothing has happened. Greenlaw, on the other hand, I can take from that answer, there's not even a game that they've circled yet.
No.
Let alone are they feeling like he's progressing through this, that, and the other. They're just not there yet. And then when you add in that when he comes back, coming off of a really bad injury, I don't know if you're going to get anything substantive from Dre Greenlaw this year or not.
Probably not right away. And the hope would be that he's ready to go before the end of November. And just looking at some of the return to play timelines that are generally out there for football players with the torn Achilles, 9 to 12 months. The injury happened on February 11th. 9 months from then would be November 11th, which would be the day after the Tampa Bay game. So if you talk about a 10-month return, that would be December 11th. They play the Rams in Week 15 on December 12th. So honestly, if you could get Dre Greenlaw back by the beginning of December, the middle of December, give him 3 or 4 games to ramp up, and then hopefully you're a playoff team and he could be closer to being himself in the postseason. But you're right that you can't count on him being this year as good as he has been. But the other challenging part of this is you're running low on linebackers, and you got Flanagan Fowles, who's hurt. D Winters is in the concussion protocol. Luckily, you're going into a bye week, and you've got, you know, Devondre Campbell playing better. Fred Warner is amazing, but linebacker depth has been an issue. So depending on how quickly Dre can come back, that might dictate or determine what you do at the trade deadline in 8 days. Because if Dre's not going to be ready until, let's just say, December 8th against Chicago, you may need another linebacker before then.
Well, and my bet is they know a lot more behind the scenes right now than we do. So,
well, and I think that their actions next Tuesday will dictate to me how quickly Dre can come back. If they go out and they get a linebacker via trade, that might signal that Dre Greenlaw won't be ready earlier, or maybe he won't be ready at all.
Or also, do they open up the practice window, which is usually a 21-day yep. practice window? He said the hope is that when they get back from the bye, he's, quote, week to week, which usually means you're not that close, although you just never know. The Commanders called Jaden Daniels week to week, and he went out and played, and then he won a football game. I mean, it was a low-scoring football game, but, yep. You know. Did a good job to like run around back there and avoid the sack before he threw the ball downfield.
It's just the idea. Well, it was the play before where they got the chunk play that even put them in range to throw the Hail Mary. But why do teams continue to rush three?
It's a great question.
And you let a guy just run around.
Rush five.
Rush seven. Bring the his house.
You're not going to do that.
I can honestly say was sort of built for this. Cover zero.
Not going to leave anybody on an island.
And what they also did is they had somebody spying the quarterback. So they rush three, and Jaden runs right, and the linebacker would run with him. It's like, what the hell
is
he doing?
I don't know. It was a fun play, though. I could tell you didn't like it. You must have been like, I don't know, going against Jaden Daniels in fantasy or something.
It was already a wrap, like Saran. I needed CeeDee Lamb to fumble just once. Zero catches or, you know, fumble once and I still could have won. And then CeeDee went bananas.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. We'll be back with some more thoughts here. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
And George Kittle, on his day, gets a touchdown.
That was my idea. You know, we had four active tight ends for the first time this year, so I was really excited about that, getting Braden Willis up. No, it's a holiday. You're trying to, you know, celebrate all tight ends, you know, not just, you know, guys who get a bunch of targets and stuff. Like, tight ends do the gritty stuff, special teams, goal line stuff. So I'm just happy to have them all run out with me. I really do appreciate my tight end room this year. They've been fantastic, just helped me out as much as I can be. Many other things I do on my holiday. I think I lost the last two on the holiday, so getting a win on National Tight Ends Day was very helpful for my confidence.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Niners have lost the last two on National Tight Ends Day. It is in October every year, and we know the Niners don't get good until November, so there's that.
It's the fourth Sunday in October, traditionally.
So,
and last year they played on the Monday, and they lost at Minnesota, 22-17.
Their first loss of the year.
Second loss of the year. They lost to Cleveland the week before.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I still want Jake Moody to make that kick.
Right.
Stupid guy.
Still feel like he should have made it. The previous year, the fourth Sunday in October was the 30th. They beat the Rams 31-14.
Okay.
On National Tight Ends Day.
Tight Ends.
Which, I know that he kind of started it, but...
Kind of.
How did it start? He just decided that it would be a thing?
He just wanted to... I mean, he's George Kittle.
Right.
So he just did it. I mean, he has everybody out to his place in the offseason. He does Netflix in the offseason. He's the face of the tight ends in the NFL. That's the dude. It's not Travis Kelce. I don't care who he's dating. I don't care who his brother is or how popular his podcast is. It's George Kittle. That's the guy. And Travis is his buddy.
Right. Well, everyone's his buddy. As evidenced by last year in the Super Bowl where, you know, there's a fumble and George Karloftis is there and you could hear George saying, "You're George and I'm George." Isn't that so cool that we're both Georges?
Yeah, he's like, while you're talking about that, let's go have you lose the Super Bowl.
Right. McCaffrey had coughed it up and it was a George on George. It was a George love fest. Maybe it was National George Day, but it's hard not to love. I mean, even if you're not a Niner, how do you not love the guy with... just the joyful, kid-like exuberance that he goes about doing every single thing, you know?
This whole thing has become kind of therapeutic for me, coming in here and talking to you about this stuff every week. I tell you, it like last night, I got to be straight honest with everybody. Like, that was not as happy of a win as I thought it would be. It was kind of, it was annoying. It was a little bit annoying, and that didn't overwhelm what had happened. Obviously, it was a win, and you're like, okay, Niners beat the Cowboys. It felt way better than if they had lost. If they had lost, we're talking about DEFCON 5, and I had already said alarms are going off if they lose this game, and they didn't, so that's great. But every one of the Niners' wins this year, I think, has sort of had almost a poison pill in it for the fans. Which is, there's something that kind of, maybe not the Jets game, maybe not that one, but outside of that, there's something every Niner game you've come away with that's just like, God, that just doesn't feel right. I want it to feel right. And so hopefully the bye week is exactly what they need, the trade deadline, the return of McCaffrey, the return of Juwan. If all of these things can happen 13 days from now, I can't wait to see if they can sort of find a new level, the level we've seen them get at before, or play four full quarters at it, because I still think that team can have an interesting finish to this year.
Right, and they can, and I think the New England game was another one that was pretty much mostly drama-free. I don't remember anything in there that was a, quote, poison pill, and I also look at last night a little bit differently because, you know, Dallas... with CeeDee Lamb when they're trailing, and the Niners know they're going to just throw, and they also know that, you know, it behooves them to allow Dallas to stay in front of them, and they did that on the first of the back-to-back touchdown drives, and so that didn't really bother me. What started to get annoying was when the Niners get the field goal with 4.5 to go, you're up 13, and even at that point, I'm thinking, okay, same thing. Dallas is probably going to go down the field because it's the NFL, and this is what teams do. Keep Dallas in front, make them use three and a half minutes, and if they inevitably score, then there's 48 seconds left, and Dallas is out of timeouts, and now it's just an onside kick, and the Niners can kneel it out from there. But they went 1, 2, 3, 4, touchdown. That, for me, was the annoying part when they took 54 seconds off the clock, and they made it a one-score game.
Where's the pass rush in a moment like that? You know they're throwing, and their offensive line is not good, and your defensive line is, hang on, let me look, supposed to be good. So, yes, that's what I mean by the poison pill. You still go to bed, and yes, this is spoiled. I'll admit it. It's spoiled. There are so many fan bases that would love to be annoyed when they win. Like, I totally get it. But there's always something with each one of these 49er games that makes you sort of... here's a better way to put it. It robs you a little bit of your confidence for the next one. That's kind of what it does.
I suppose. Not for me, because, you know, a win is a win, and you can say that Dallas stinks and they're not a great team, but they're full of pro players and they've got guys who can make any team look bad, and CeeDee Lamb is that guy. And you had an embarrassing moment where your own defenders collided with each other and he scored a touchdown, and the previous one where you just kind of forgot to cover the best guy on the field. And, you know, they had three receivers to the left and CeeDee alone to the right, and it was just a full-on everybody cross route, and you all went with the three and nobody went with the CeeDee, and he was all alone in the end zone. So there were things that needed to be cleaned up. But for me, it's just football. Those plays are going to happen.
No,
and at
I
the end
it.
Of it, when you wind up with the win, and you know, you have your lead running back who only played a dozen or so snaps, and then the other rookie, the new guy, the backup, comes in and looks fantastic, and your $60 million quarterback played a very good game, in my opinion, and your tight end on National Tight End Day was dominant, and your all-pro linebacker was great, and your high-paid pass rusher got a sack. No shrug, by the way.
I know. Why is he not doing that anymore?
He was, like, growling and yelling. He was very happy.
Well, it's an important time.
But normally we get the shrug, right? So, I don't know. My takeaways are not... they're not negative. Yes,
no,
there's things to clean up, but anytime you beat Dallas is a wonderful day.
It's a wonderful day. No, there's no. It's not a negative takeaway. It's just, again, it's like, it's wonderful that they won, but it's the acknowledgement that if you really want to go somewhere special this year, they're gonna have to find a different level. They're gonna have to find a different level that at this point they have not been able to find. But I trust Kyle Shanahan. He's been here before. And they've done it then, and I expect them to do it again. And I heard something from Trent Williams last night that I thought was kind of tucked under the covers that might be a little bit important. And maybe it's the silver lining to something that has been very frustrating to Niner fans throughout the year, which was the way camp went. Trent sat out, and Brandon sat out, and Christian was immediately tabled and did not really have any training camp. And Trent insinuated last night that the benefit of that, the dividends for that, may be what's coming next. In other words, he was asked, are you excited about the bye? He's like, no, I feel completely rested because I didn't go to camp.
Right.
So I'm ready to ride. And Christian McCaffrey should be as fresh as they ever come. Who knows? We've been around this thing before where an injury in season becomes a blessing at the end of the season. The latest example being Steph Curry before the playoff run to a championship 2 years ago.
Yep. And I do think the other byproduct of what you're saying is getting younger guys forced playing time. And it's Malik Mustafa who now... you can't get him off the field. And Renardo Green looks like a guy who is going to play no matter what. And now Ricky Pearsall is emerging, and he's going to play a lot more than he otherwise would have. So Dominic Pooney, a rookie who was forced in due to injury, turns out to be a good player. And now you know you have a mainstay at right guard. So that's another byproduct of what you went through in camp, is you've had a lot of these guys get forced playing time, and now they've earned their playing time, and now you've got a good core of younger guys going forward.
I'm so excited about tomorrow. I can't wait to get out there. Obviously, we could not attend the Warrior game last night for multiple reasons. I was doing the show. We're in the middle of a 49er game, all of that. But I cannot wait to do the show at Thrive City with you tomorrow. I cannot wait to see some of our listeners who I know are going to have tickets and be out there and ready and excited for this basketball game. Absolutely going to the game and taking the lovely Christy tomorrow night. We'll stay out there and do basketball things. And I'm so glad it's back. I've missed it.
Yeah.
I have really missed it.
And I have missed the energy out at Thrive City, and we're going to be literally in the center of it.
Yeah.
So a little outdoor show, too, if I'm correct on that.
That is correct.
Slather on some sunscreen, get the sunglasses. And
or bring a jacket.
It could be.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're starting to.
Yeah, summer's finally maybe ending, maybe.
I'm trying to think of our last outdoor, truly outdoor broadcast, and it might have been the parade right there on Market Street.
That was the last time we did a show outside?
I'm trying to think of another time. At Fieldwork, that was kind of a patio vibe.
Damn.
It was semi-outside. Linden, we were in a drafty Lions club.
The field work that was out, what was the one that was in San Ramon?
That was outside.
That's outside.
Yeah, you're right. We had the overhang, yeah. So maybe it had a little bit of an indoor feel. And Fremont Bank, the beautiful rooftop deck, was outside-ish.
Outside-ish, yeah.
And exactly. Doors were open, so there you go.
Anyway, come
Anyhow,
see us.
Yeah.
Come see us. Grandy, what are you doing here in a couple minutes?
I got Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Oh, that's right. It's Warriors Roundtable coming up next. Let's get out of here and let these guys talk, for goodness sakes. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Gucci.
Yeah, let's do it again tomorrow. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Warriors Roundtable night. It is a full hour. They'll be all over it. Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean coming up next. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.